Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Samantha Shedd. Samantha is a graduate in our Executive MBA class of 2021, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to catch up, but also to talk about her background, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, how her career goals evolved over the course of the program, and of course, what she's been up to since graduation. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Samantha Shedd. Samantha, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to see you. As I mentioned before we got on the podcast, the last time I saw you, sans family grounds, it was the fall. Other members of the class of 2021 were there, and it was a reunion of sorts. It was wonderful to be there with your class. I was telling my colleague, Catherine, who works on the admissions team here, that's how I got all the updates about the class of 2021, found out what people were doing. Like, how many people stood up at that event and said, I've got a new job, I'm starting here, we're adding a new addition to our family, pregnant, expecting a child, whatever. I was amazed. It was like update after update after update. So
it was really nice too, to be able to be back in the classroom and be focused on like that social networking connection that we had missed out on. So it was, like you said, it was just wonderful to be back at in a home environment.
Yeah, you're right. Your comment made me think about the journey for your class. So for listeners, I'm sure we'll get into this. So your class started in 2019. August 2019, to be more specific. I think it's fair to say a very different world than the one we currently find ourselves in. And then March 2020 rolls around and the whole world changes. And so how you started, and then navigating the first few months, the first few quarters of the program to March of 2020 and the early stage of the pandemic, very difficult to get large groups of people together. So your class was largely virtual for portions of that, but LR2 rolls around and you had a chance for students who wanted to be back together. But what an arc for your class, an unusual journey to say the least.
Yes, it was very unusual.
All right. Well, it's nice to have you here, Samantha. So let's talk a little bit more about you. How are you doing at this time?
I'm doing very well. It's been, they said at the end of school, like, you know, you're not really going to get much more time back now that you're not studying X number of hours a week. But in reality, and at the time I thought, oh no, like I'm going to get so much time back. And nope, you find things to fit in, activities, you know, family, friends, events, other things, work, you know, all of it comes right back up and your schedule is full again. So it's crazy to think we're coming up on our 1 year because it still seems like it's just as busy.
I think that's true for people, at least the students I've been around in the Executive MBA program. You have this expanded sense of your own capacity and, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. You gotta fill that time up. You can't just go back. Now you know you have this power. You have the ability to do all these things simultaneously. Why not just keep rolling with that?
Yeah, I will say the balance is a little more even though in terms of choosing what to do and being able to choose things like read a book for fun.
I can believe that, right? In school, you're not choosing everything. And certainly when you get to the second half of the program, right, you're choosing your classes. But you're right that your time is more your own these days. So, well, let's talk a little bit more about you. Tell us your story. What'd you do before coming to Dart?
Yeah, so I grew up in Northern Pennsylvania and I attended Penn State University and I majored in finance. But when I graduated, I received my commission as a naval officer and I was stationed in Hawaii on the USS Lake Erie. I then moved to Italy where I was attached to a NATO unit and then finished up my time at Fleet Cyber Command. So in my time throughout the Navy, I had a very atypical career path, but it had a lot to do with project management, information technology, both infrastructure and operations. So when I transitioned out, I started as a federal contractor under Parsons Corporation, where I started as an individual contributor and then moved up into a management position and was able to, about a year after I got out is the time that I've decided, oh, really wanted, this is the time in my life to do an MBA program, and started looking and applied. And like you said, started in August of 2019.
Was that a big decision for you to go back to school?
It wasn't, it wasn't. So I've been thinking about it since undergraduate. I had looked as immediately like doing like a residential style program after getting out. It was a different kind of calculus though than I thought, because at the time I was, we'd been married for about 2 years. So that goes into your decision about what type of program and where the program is, as well as just what my career goals were. So I had considered doing like an IT to kind of quantify more of my skills in that area to be able to say, hey, yes, I am a technical leader. But I realized that an MBA, which is something that I, like I said, always kind of wanted to do, would be the right step for my career moving forward from that point.
So you land on the idea of an MBA. All right, you go through this whole process. How does Darden specifically get on your radar?
So Darden got on my radar because I went to an executive MBA night where they had multiple schools. And you hear all the fancy pitches and all the beautiful pamphlets. I took all the pamphlets home. And, you know, I'm looking through and I remember being like, oh, I want to go here and I want to go here. And, you know, the biggest thing was trying to find a way to quantify what I wanted. And so first and foremost, I looked at, I wanted a top school. I wanted a program that kind of fit my lifestyle. So there's a lot of different styles out there. And I really liked the weekend, weeknight kind of setup of Darden. And then I went through the application process where I learned more. I visited Sands Family Ground, which I fell in love with. Maybe it's the views, maybe it's the Swedish fish. I don't know what, but I just enjoy being up there. It has a very warm feeling. And meeting people at Darden was very different. I felt immediately like I can fit in here. I see their, like the honesty in the way that they describe the program. And I was like, I want to be in that style of program. And so when I applied and got in, I made the decision to go to Darden because it fit the quantifiable reasons, like the style of the setup, the location that I wanted. I didn't want to spend a lot of time traveling to a different city, but it came down to a very emotional decision, which was a connection of the people that I had met and realizing that the network opportunities were going to be very unquantifiable across all of these schools. And I know that there's a lot of good networks out there, but I felt that Darden was the place that it would be a good network for me. And it certainly has paid off. That's been one of the best things out of the Darden classmates that I've met.
So much goodness in what you just shared. We've been offering tours of our space, and it's great for people to come and be able to visualize their experience. I think that is one of those things that is an important part of the research process. Obviously, the pandemic has made this more challenging to do this kind of thing, but we're excited to be able to offer these kind of small group tours again. Hopefully at some point we'll get class visits up and running again, being able to see the case method, see how students engage, see how much fun they're having in class. Just had a call the other day with our social reps for our class of 2023. And they were like, as a student, prospective student, you know, and I was thinking about business school and what class would be like, I had this really like grave, serious idea. Like people are in here talking about business, capital B. And then what you don't realize is like how much fun people have in class, how there are jokes that run through all of the classes and people, you know, different personalities and how students know each other and kind of how they're going to react to information. I will admit that's difficult to capture on a website or on a blog post.
It is. And I would say that the weekends are different too, because a lot of programs have where you can take one class or a couple classes during the weeknight and you get to know people, I'm sure, through programs like that. But the weekends, we got the 15 minutes in between classes. You're grabbing a cup of coffee, you're joking, you're talking, you're having deep conversations about the topics of class, but also, you know, what's going on in someone's life. And it's very fast and very quick in a way that you get to build real relationships that I don't know if I would have gotten in other programs. When I've done online classes, I did a master's certificate in information assurance, and I didn't connect with anyone in the class. So I think that the Darden style of program with that weekend thing really opened up a different kind of opportunity to meet and get to know my classmates that another style program might not.
Well, one of the things, I want to stick with this weekend residency idea. Our program is a hybrid program. And so there's an in-person component, there's an online component, the distance classes, as you note, that happen during the weeks. But the weekend residency, I'm not sure this always occurs to prospective students. And it's been very much on my mind ever since talking with the 23s. And they were saying, you know, people don't quite understand, but this is like kind of a residential campus experience, because if you come and you stay in the hotel and you're around your classmates, you're hanging out in the lobby, you're doing all the social stuff in addition to going to class. Like, sure, you could approach it in a purely transactional way, but that's certainly not our intention as a program. And it certainly sounds like the students who get the most out of the program kind of approach it in this, like, I'm coming, I'm here, I'm making time for this, and I'm in for all of it.
Yeah, and I would say that from my experience, when I was getting ready to go and they talked about the weekend things, they talk about, oh, you can stay in the hotel. Well, you know, the campus being in Roslyn, I lived in Crystal City at the time. That's a 10-minute drive. Seems kind of ridiculous in a way to be, you know, 10 minutes away from your house. And in reality, it was essential that I, you know, spend that time in the hotel lobby, talking to people after class, getting coffee in the morning and connecting, because that's where I built a lot of the friendships that I have to this day from the program. And it just kind of made it a separation between everything else that is going on in my life. And this is the weekend for school. And in some ways that is, it's a self-care thing of like, I'm going to go to school to better myself, hopefully better my career, but also my personal life. And this is a good way to kind of separate between those two worlds. And then on Sunday afternoons, I would go home and we would have a lot of times I'd be exhausted from maybe not sleeping quite as much as I should, but also just the social aspect of the weekend. And we would spend Sunday afternoon kind of having a quiet, like an afternoon date. And so it was a very refreshing way to spend the weekend and feel connected to both of the two worlds that I lived in.
Well, I love so much of what you just shared, because I think for a lot of executive MBA applicants, their first thought is schedule, time, convenience, right? How do you fit this in? Like the idea of maybe thinking about a program that might be more local, or you could easily commute to and be back and forth between these two, you know, both school and home, like that might be the first idea that people have when they're thinking about programs. But the reality, like, that the full value of the experience is oftentimes about giving yourself space to be fully present. You know, when you're doing school and you're here around your classmates and acknowledging that school experience extends beyond just the class hours. But also, you can perhaps be a bit better when you're at home by making sure that, like, all right, so you're here at home and this is your focus now, because you did school and that was that you had to give yourself time and space to be fully there. There's something to that, I think.
Yeah, and I have to say, at the beginning when I was reviewing different schools, I was like very obsessed with trying to find something that would fit my life. And I remember thinking like, oh, well, that place I would have to fly to, or I'd have to drive to, or I'd have to do, there's not a metro location that's convenient. All of that stuff became very stressful for me, because logistically I wanted it to be able to fit into my life smoothly. And so when I did get into Darden and started going, I realized that the ease of being able to be at home on those Tuesday, Thursday classes, which was my class's typical nights, and then the weekends being able to separate, but still, you know, have that Sunday afternoon wasn't spent driving home. It was spent recouping and getting ready for the week. It was a good balance between the logistics of diving full in and being able to take care of everything else in my life.
All right, so you come to Darden, executive MBA program, get started. What was that process like for you to be a new student in the executive MBA program?
So it's a lot to take on, full-time work, full-time school, full-time life. It's a good balance, and getting used to that is a challenge. For me in particular, it was my work schedule changed drastically. I got promoted into a position where I was managing several projects, a good number of people, and we would have a significant amount of government proposals which require additional work hours for a couple weeks at a time. And so that happened in August and September, the first 2 months of the program. Then it died down and went back up in December, January, and the trend continued out throughout the 2 years. So learning to set boundaries for myself on what was or wasn't possible in my life was something that got tested in the first week in a way that I don't think I could have expected it to. I'm sure many other people go through similar things, but for me, it was really just, I can't just work crazy hours because I have to do this final exam.
I think for a lot of people, accepting their limitations, that you truly, this may be the first time in your life that you haven't been able to do everything. And also acknowledging I have not found the exact right word for this, but acknowledging the kind of messiness of all of this. Like everything's not going to be in a box. It's not going to be all buttoned up. It's going to feel a little fly by the seat of your pants at times. Pretty tough feeling for people who are inclined to do something like an executive MBA program.
Yeah. And I think that I came in kind of having that feeling that it would be that way, but my experience of it was very different. It wasn't, I'm going to focus on this week. And then maybe, work's going to, it was sometimes, a day by day, hour by hour kind of reprioritization that forces you to really think about what it was. And for me, boundary was I cannot pull an all nighter. I can't do it for work. I can't do it for school. I wish I could. I'm not a friendly person. I'm not a productive person without that. And so there was some times that tested that boundary of what is doable for me and in ways that I didn't expect. And maybe that's because, my undergraduate experience was so focused on it was school with maybe some part-time work, but it wasn't quite as ambitious as the amount of time required to support that full-time work, full-time school, full-time life.
Did any of this get easier over the course of the program? I mean, was it the sort of thing that you felt like this skill, what you were drawing upon, the prioritization, you got better at that or got better as a student?
I do think it changed. It got better in a couple of different ways. First of all, the pandemic happened, like you mentioned. So the pandemic was kind of twofold. It was really a rock. And I say a rock in a good way, meaning that it was steady. So you always had school as a release from this craziness that was going on in the world. But it was also a rock in that it was hard because it was a challenge that was introduced because that was just one more stressor on top of things. I did not become a bread baker during the COVID period. That was something I missed out on because anytime that I was not working, I was doing school and trying not to, go crazy with this isolation. And so I would say it got easier in some ways to balance that and in harder in just the lifestyle changes of the pandemic. But it definitely made me feel at the end of the program, I'm very deliberate in what I do now. And I thought I was before the program, but I've become kind of almost anti-hustle in a way. And not in a negative way, I still work very hard, but I'm very aware of what I'm working on and the impact and outcome that it has, rather than focused on pure production of, I checked, 10 things off my list today. And that has been something that I don't think you can read about it. I can talk about it to you, but until you have to go through that metamorphosis of actually thinking about it, you're not going to be able to do in your own life until you've felt that crunch.
So interesting to think about. Activity is not the same as productivity, essentially.
There's a lot of, I love the phrase that busyness is the modern day laziness. And what it means is we're so up and focused on doing all of this stuff, that it makes us lazy to kind of think about things that really do matter. And, you know, very different than perhaps, you know, an undergraduate or even residential program, is that doing a full-time school, like, your life is still going. You've still got to make plans to, you know, go to your kid's concert, visit your, you know, ailing grandparent. All of this is ongoing, and that sometimes it's negotiating for a different deadline in work or in school, or it's saying, guess what? That doesn't matter to me today. And that's hard to do, but it's also, this matters more, and knowing why you made that decision, rather than being pulled by a lot of abstract deadlines, because we live in a world where, like, you know, oh, I feel like I have to do X, Y, and Z. And in some cases, we absolutely do have to do those things. But in other cases, we need to sit back and realize that, like, life is kind of short, and being able to prioritize what is important now matters.
Well, I'm curious about how your classmates were helpful to you along this journey. I mean, I feel like your class, obviously, as we noted, even at the top of this podcast, the experience was different. The pandemic is this thing that arrived, you know, right around quarter 3, quarter 4, and that's still relatively early in the process. But how were your classmates helpful to you as you navigated the program?
I don't think I could have done this without them. So right before we got on this call, I had 20 text messages, 20, which, by the way, I'm not the type of person who gets 20 text messages in one day. One of the people on my learning team, it's their birthday. And so someone remembered and sent it out to everyone. And now there's a conversation starting. So there's the learning team aspect of being able to bond immediately with a small group of people, and you form a friendship and a working relationship. Throughout the rest of the quarters, I grew in terms of other friendships in addition to this learning team and other kind of working study relationships. I would not have gotten through the pandemic or school without my classmates. And I think that that's probably the biggest thing I take away from the large group chat that is still reasonably active considering we've been out of school for a year, a little bit of the excitement of the reunion coming up, but also in hearing people's updates. They're not always from the standard, like, oh, I, you know, social media, LinkedIn kind of update. It's, oh, I talked to so-and-so who said this is going on, and it's real updates about real people. And it's real people helping other people too. I've seen classmates switch jobs, and you know the backstory of, like, hey, this person kind of helped this person out by showing, hey, this might be a good job for you. Or I've heard, you know, you aren't happy here. Let me look for you. And I think that having that at somebody to advocate, whether it's in the classroom or in your professional network, is, I don't think I could have measured it before. And I didn't realize how much gratitude I would have for that, being even now just a short time out of the program.
Is that surprising to you that you came away from the program with this? I mean, what you're describing to me sounds a lot like friends, more so than just the pure professional network.
It is. I definitely, and I wanted that in a way too. I did want a program to get friends, because I'm in my 30s. It's really hard to make friends. So the people that I've become very close with, I have no doubt that they will be the type of people that I'll be calling up 5 or 6 years from now to say, hey, this is something big's going on. Like, I need you part of my life, if they're not already tracking what's going on. The whole class as a whole, I feel like, is very receptive to helping each other out. I would say that in terms of, did I expect this? In my undergraduate, I formed a lot of friendships. Obviously, you're, you know, late teens, early 20s, no other obligations. And I formed a lot of friends throughout my time in the military, but constantly moving makes it a little challenging to form true lifetime bonds. And I think that going into the program, I expected to get friends in the program. I don't know if I expected how long those relationships would last past, you know, the final exam, final closure of the book. And I'm really excited that now, even in the short time out since school, that I don't have any hesitations in saying that they will be there.
Your point about being in your 30s or around the age when students typically will do a program like this. I mean, one of the things about the Executive MBA program is pretty broad classroom in terms of the mix of people in terms of work experience. So anywhere from around 5 years into their career to 25, 30 plus years. But a lot of people are kind of late 20s to early 40s or so. And you are so right that that is, I mean, I say this as a 41-year-old person, it's not that easy to like meet 130 people who you all want to meet. I mean, like, how does this, it's like serendipity, it's pure luck if you get to meet people out in the real world that you share interests with and you have these common bonds. And all of a sudden you're in a program and everybody is kind of eager to know each other and build the relationship. Their intentions really kind of align with what you're hoping to do. And I mean, it is an amazing thing. And so what you just shared both feels personally like real, just thinking about life in this kind of modern context, but also aligns with something that our 2023s were saying, like, it's incredible at this age, you get to meet this many interesting people at one time. It just doesn't happen in the flow of your everyday life.
Absolutely. And I mean, it just, it is confounding and hard to put into words in a way. But maybe a little story. My husband, he told me after the program that there'd be times where he'd, you know, kind of like lean on the door and just kind of like listen in for a minute or two. And the type of conversations that you're having, whether it's doing a group project or in class, you're just getting a deeper level of connection than you maybe get from some of the other areas of your life. Maybe, you know, we all have that work bestie, but you're not maybe talking about world events or how this, you know, critical policy is influencing the way that, you know, things are not working. And I think that that was something that building those bonds, even now, the conversations that I have with my classmates post-classroom are on a different level of deepness because we have kind of the mutual respect of where the other one's coming from and the willingness to kind of explore topics that are typically off limits for, you know, friendly relationships.
Well, I'm thinking about your class. So we talked about the pandemic, and obviously that is a big part of your class's story. But, and this is very much on my mind because we just had a Women of Color panel and one of your classmates, Clarissa Jimenez, was on there and she was talking about the fact that, okay, so summer rolls around, murder of George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter movement, social justice movement, and all of this is playing out in Washington, D.C., you know, and of course, cities around the country and the world. But it was something that could not be ignored, should not be ignored. And your class spent quite a bit of time in class, outside of class, having dialogues around what was happening in the world. Because as she so deftly noted in that webinar, like business leaders at this moment and going forward have to have a perspective, have to know what they stand for on these kinds of issues because customers care. And it's also just part of being a leader in this moment that you have to have a perspective. I also think about that as something that's very much part of your class's journey as a class.
Absolutely, and I think that I'm trying to think of the right way to put this into words, but you're not going to pick that up from, you know, watching a newscast or reading a book. It's a lot different to have those conversations in real life, whether virtually or in person. And it does change you in a way about how are you looking at the world. And I think that, you know, when I look back at like my undergraduate, it wasn't rote memorization by any means, but it has that feeling now looking back of being very, here's the textbook, here's the study sheet, here's the final exam, check the box, move on kind of structure. And I would say that what I took away from Darden, like grades are certainly important. You know, I don't want to diminish the hard work that goes into being able to take a top grade away. But I think it's important to remember that like most of my learning wasn't in the classroom. It wasn't just, hey, I know this random facts about accounting. Most people are not going to be even looking at me for accounting advice, and that's okay. But I do know that what I took away from kind of personal reflection, conversations, was much more building in terms of who I am today and who I will be tomorrow, and a much stronger awareness about what that is and the impact that I have as a leader. And I think that, you know, as so many things go on in the world, you know, in these last 2 years, that we're now more prepared than ever to be able to stand in those positions and make hard choices that are not based on numbers. Because so often, I think in the past, numbers have been a big piece of why decisions were made in terms of like labor costs or, you know, pricing strategies. And while there's complete, you know, validity in how you do that to keep your business functioning and operational and profitable, there's also aspects of it where, okay, but there's a human involved and he, she, you know, matters. And we have to do more than just sit and, you know, collect money off of the labor pool, off of the profit margin and whatnot, to be able to justify our means. And so I completely agree that, you know, the conversations that we had transcended the classroom and just were not what I thought I was going to get in an MBA program.
Yeah, I think it's surprising to people that there's this space and opportunity and that you have in all this engagement. I think about your class and the role that student leaders in your class really played in driving those conversations. I can remember the conversations I had with them myself, and it was incredible to see. And I think it's a great example. You know, faculty and leadership and staff were very open to these conversations as well, but students are critical. Critical to what happens at Darden, at the University of Virginia, and in the executive MBA program too. And so student leadership was a big part of that. And I appreciate your point about it can't just be about the bottom line and profit, because that does feel like, I mean, Darden is a stakeholder theory school. It's the profit, yes, but with purpose and keeping in mind these kind of stakeholder groups. You mentioned some of them, but that is the ethical framework that's in place here at Darden. Well, Samantha, I'm curious about how your career goals may have evolved over the course of your time in the program. What were you thinking when you started, and what did you start to think as you got closer to the end?
Well, I fell into the standard trap. What that is I was in the position that I was when I started and the career field I was in. I was very happy and I wanted to grow. And throughout my time at school, my aperture very much widened and seeing different opportunities, learning different things. And I realized that the resources that are available are unparalleled to any other time in my future. Being able to work with, you know, the coaches, to be able to come up with, you know, solid interview answers, the ability for someone to help you cater your resume. And I realized that for my career progression, that while I was very happy with the actual position that I had in my previous job, I was ready for something different, and Darden was a great catalyst for that. And so I made the decision in about halfway through to kind of start looking for a job, which, by the way, adds a whole nother aspect to everything that's going on, and certainly was added a little bit more to that balance structure that we talked about of reprioritizing what was important. And so, yeah, I started updating my resume, started doing interview questions, and started searching in a very distinct way that I hadn't done in any previous times. Of, do I want to go into consulting? Do I want to stay in tech? Do I want to go into this whole different field that I had never thought about? And so the options to explore and talk to people were very easily accessible. And I ended up knowing or realizing that I wanted to kind of stay in technical program management, but set up for my career to eventually move more towards a business position. So I was looking around at like the big tech, and one of the things I'm very grateful for that Darden did was they showcased previous graduates coming back and talking to students. And so I went to a lot of the talks, and there were about four or five of them, and it happened right around the Christmas time period, which was perfect for my life schedule. because I needed to make a decision. And I ran into Microsoft, which, you know, obviously I'd heard of Microsoft, but I hadn't really thought about like, oh, I could work there. And I started putting together everything to get ready to interview. I got very fortunate that I, you know, I got a good interview, but it wasn't the right job. And so I was moved over and I into another department who then eventually hired me. And the being able to have somebody from Clarissa, for example, she was in my career group. So she was cheering me on Saturday mornings when we would get together to talk to the coaching team, you know, Kellogg and others to be able to help with the interview prep was very, you had a team behind you doing this. And when I got selected for the job and I actually started 2 weeks after graduation and I actually just got a promotion last week. So it ended up being kind of a beautiful story in my career progression.
That's wonderful. Congratulations on all counts. I knew about the starting at Microsoft because it was one of the updates I think that was shared during the mini class reunion from back in the fall. Did not know about the promotion. So
yeah, that just happened. So it's actually, this is one of the first, you're one of the first people I've really told publicly.
Oh my gosh. And our listeners, of course.
I'm sure
they'll join in congratulating you. Will you be our neighbor in Roslyn? I feel like Microsoft is moving some offices into our area. I may be wrong about that, but I think that's been in the Roslyn news.
I do believe that they are opening some offices. I work in Azure. I'm a technical program manager. So I'm based out of Reston, but I actually work from home. So I do believe, and I'm not 100% sure on this, I think the Roslyn office is for business development based jobs.
Okay. Well, we were just hoping that we would get to see you on the streets of Roslyn. Maybe we could enjoy a fast casual dining location. For those of you who are less familiar, Roslyn has a number of fast casual business on-the-go type lunch spots, essentially. Mm-hmm. You imagine it, it's probably here. So Samantha, well, a lot is happening for you on the work front. It sounds like you've landed in a good spot. You're enjoying what you're doing at Microsoft. What are you looking forward to and what's to come?
So we did just get a puppy. So that's, if you've heard any noises, that's probably him walking around here. So that's been kind of the short term of, you know, being with him, bonding, training, and activities and whatnot. In the future, I am really looking forward to the reunion, being able to get back down into Charlottesville, which I actually had never been to Charlottesville before my Darden experience. So I very much associate the Charlottesville with that. And it'll be a lot of fun in the end of April. And then some travel. I picked Darden but you know, it was a huge opportunity to be able to travel. And like you said, the pandemic really, really changed my class's structure. So looking forward to being able to travel and hopefully, you know, reconnect with more of a normal style of life. And hopefully, I'm sure most listeners are feeling the same way.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, the kind of impact of COVID for your class and what it meant for delivery and how hard it was to get large groups of people together, certainly pre-vaccine. And the thing we didn't talk about was we weren't able to travel globally. So there was a global residency. Gosh, it feels like a world ago. There was a group of people who went to Brazil, I'm pretty sure. And I was on that trip. I remember it like almost through the fog of memory. Like, what that happened in November 2019. That was, to me, I had never been on a global residency before. And of course, no one in your class had either. It was the first trip. But I have this memory of like 30 people on a plane, like on a, like a United flight going to Sao Paulo on a, like a Friday night, something like that. And one of the pilots was the parent of one of our students. Like, did that happen, Samantha?
Yes, that did happen. I actually wasn't on the flight. I flew a different carrier at the time. But yeah, to hear everybody coming in, like, first of all, we all knew everyone was on the flight because there was a text message updates about, oh, I'm on this flight, I'm on that flight. And so you just, one of my classmates and good friends, Amanda, her dad is a pilot, and talk about a, you know, unique opportunity to be able to fly down. And yeah, everybody, you know, everyone knows everybody. And I imagine there was a big kind of, in a good way, like a ruckus of like, just, oh yeah, hi, how are you? Very different than most of your like standard, almost like, don't talk to me on a plane kind of structure of our class being there and, you know, everybody on the plane knew.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's rare for you to walk into an airport and look in the line and you're like, wow, I know that person and that person and that person. I know all these people. How is this possible? And that was, I will say, personally fun. It was a thrill to be there in Brazil with the students. It was a great week. Did so many things. And I will say, like, I did probably 50% of what the students on that trip did. There was so much going on in the evening and planned trips, and it was a working trip for me, and I'm old, as noted, and so I was tired mostly after the full day of events. So I was just at home.
I was pretty exhausted after, during, and after that trip. So I think that I don't think it's an age thing. It's definitely the activities were. It was a very tight schedule. Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think back and think, oh, I took accounting classes in Brazil. Like, seems. It's hard to think about now, but it was, I mean, that was part of our experience. We would get up in the morning, go to class, and then we'd have these, you know, kind of cultural activities to be able to, you know, see the cities, but also connect with each other. And people would find restaurants. We did a Michelin 2-star down there, as well as, you know, small, like local places that, you know, you're never going to find, you know, outside of those cities. And just, yeah, it was a whirlwind of a week.
Yeah, you're packing a lot in, and the structure of the global residencies has changed a little bit. No longer doing core classes abroad. It's all about focusing on that location, and the framework that we've been using is, you know, one around what it's like to do business in the country, with the country, and for the country, and that kind of informs the businesses that you're going to visit. But there's speakers and always some downtime and opportunity for exploration. I would be hard pressed to find a person that didn't go on a global residency and feel tired afterwards. I think it's just one of these weeks where you're doing a lot, and there's an excitement, like there's so much energy, and it's been fun. I mean, Samantha, I don't want to speak too soon here, but it feels like the world is opening up a little bit more. We have a bunch of residential students that are going on Darden Worldwide courses, which are global electives, over spring break, which is really right now. And we also have a few groups of executive MBA students who recently traveled. We had a group that went to Italy and groups that went to Spain. And I mean, that's a very positive thing. Hopefully that trend continues. We had some trips that ran in the fall, one to Germany and one to Finland and Estonia. So all these trips have, it's kind of been this big pivot to kind of focusing on Europe right now. The university has encouraged us to do so, but there's so many great places to see. And there's even some domestic trips that have been offered for students, not necessarily global residencies, but a trip you could take with your classmates. There's a popular digital marketing class that goes to San Francisco. And so I think most of the time when people have done one of these kinds of things, they want to do more. So hopefully we can continue to keep these rolling, pandemic willing. So.
Absolutely. I did sign up for, I was scheduled for the San Francisco trip, had it opened up. It didn't. And I was also looking forward to some of those worldwide courses. And if I had the opportunity to do the program again, I would be on every trip. Not only because I just love to travel, but it's a very different kind of experience. Meeting people in country you can only get so much out of, you know, a Zoom style call. So being able to walk around and see things is just so eye-opening and kind of an intangible way.
All right, Samantha, last question for you. What's one piece of advice you would share with our listeners here?
I would say that we kind of talked about, you know, grades being important, but don't get bogged down by being focused in on the quarter. So your undergraduate was probably semester, mine was 16 weeks long, very long, 4 years drug out. The 2 years goes by really fast and really slow. And if you focus only on the small assignments, the next final exam, the next hurdle to get through the program, I think you're going to miss out on a lot. You know, make sure that you're taking time to network, that's with your classmates, but externally with the Darden at Large program, residentials, professors. Think about your career and what you want. I wish I would have thought about that earlier. And I know that we had a class that talked about it early on, and I thought I knew what I wanted, but I didn't. So I would encourage you to let go of those expectations and to conduct a lot of personal reflection, because that's how I grew the most. So I would say, as much as you're looking at, I want an MBA at the end of this, like, style program, certainly go in knowing and looking for a really good program, but realize that what you're going to take out of it is very different than just reading a textbook and taking a final exam. And so I would, you know, focus as much time as I did on my studies on some of the other external extracurriculars, so to say, of the program, because that's what you get the most out of. And I when I look back, I don't think about, oh, this accounting problem. You know, I think about the times that we did have in Brazil, to late nights having discussions, to projects. You know, it's the inside jokes that are going to stay with you for the remainder of your time. And yeah, just make sure that, you know what you're getting out of this full-time structure.
Well, Samantha, it's been such a pleasure. Congratulations again on the promotion. Thank you for taking time out of your workday for the podcast. As I joke, our listeners, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, know I schedule people to come on the podcast just so I can talk to them and see what they've been up to. So, you know, that's really, you know, I used to say I did the same thing with, like, webinars and just getting panelists on there and be like, oh, okay, so that's what Samantha's been doing. All right, well, that's good to know. So it's been such a pleasure talking with you, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Brett. It's been great catching up.
And that was my interview with Samantha Shett, a graduate in our Executive MBA class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. And as always, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.